You're listening to The Coffee Hour. I'm Andy Bates. It is Advent, and we are looking forward to the fourth Sunday in Advent. We'll talk with Pastor Geyer in just a moment as we look at the scripture readings for this Sunday. We look at the lectionary for this fourth Sunday of Advent. Thanks to Concordia University Wisconsin for supporting The Coffee Hour. Find out more about Concordia University Wisconsin at cuw.edu. Live uncommon. Joining me today, the Reverend James Geyer, Senior Pastor, Ascension Lutheran Church and School in Fort Wayne, Indiana. Our guest pastor helping us through the text for this season of Advent as we look forward to the fourth Sunday in Advent. Pastor Geyer, welcome back.
Thank you, Andy. It's good to be with you again.
Well, I'm looking forward to this fourth Sunday. We just had Gaudete. We had the pink or rose candle. Now we're back to a violet or blue, whatever your congregation uses. So we're back to, now we're onto the fourth candle, the fourth Sunday of Advent. What scripture are we looking at this week?
We're going to look more closely at the gospel reading in Luke chapter 1. I'd like to read that. It's a shorter text, and then we'll go ahead and tackle that. In those days, Mary arose and went with haste into the hill country to a town in Judah. And she entered the house of Zechariah and greeted Elizabeth. And when Elizabeth heard the greeting of Mary, the baby leaped in her womb. And Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit, and she exclaimed with a loud cry, "Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the fruit of your womb. And why is this granted to me, that the mother of my Lord should come to me? For behold, when the sound of your greeting came to my ears, the baby in my womb leaped for joy. And blessed is she who believed that there would be a fulfillment of what was spoken to her from the Lord."
Great reading. I appreciate how you acknowledge the punctuation in the reading, that you give us the opportunity to let it sink in before you go on to the next sentence. Thanks for reading that. So as we read this week about Elizabeth's visit to Mary, what preceded this?
Yeah, what preceded was the angel Gabriel's annunciation, as we know, the annunciation to Mary, that she will soon be with child from heaven, a promise that came to her from God, that she will be the virgin who will bear forth the Son of God. It's spoken this way: he will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. And then we find in the annunciation as well, that not only is Mary going to be the one who bears the Christ child into the world, the Son of God, the very Son of God, but she finds out too that her cousin Elizabeth is also one who is beyond childbearing years, is also now 6 months with child and has conceived a son who's going to prepare the way for her son. What an interesting relationship between these two ladies, but it's outstanding news for a good reason. Because what we see happening is that nothing will be impossible with God in bringing about the salvation of a woman. So this is good news on two fronts here: the one who is to come and the one who precedes him, which means the one who precedes him shows the sign of the one who is coming. It's wonderful how these two signs work together.
So there's a relationship between Elizabeth and Mary, which then means that there is also a relationship between their sons yet to be born as well. Tell us a little bit more about this visit.
Yeah, exactly. Both are cousins, and both are at the opposite spectrums of childbearing. And this is what's interesting about the two of them. So Mary is young and most unlikely to have a child because she's betrothed, but the marriage has not been consummated yet. There's that year period. But notice that this conception does happen within the bounds of marriage. So God is faithful to his word to bring it about in the proper context, but yet not quite yet to show that this would be a son from her husband. So very unlikely that this virgin would be with child. And then you have Elizabeth on the other side, who's well beyond childbearing years. And now she's with child. So something is up here. Something's happening. And God is making a statement about his bringing about the Savior of the world, that it will always be by his doing, not by ours. He will bring it about. He will make it happen. And he will do so in a way that we know it's by him. And so these two ladies here play an important role by bearing into the world the messenger and the one who follows the messenger. So now they get together. And when they do, I find it interesting that this visit is not simply a family visit that typically takes place or happens. For this visit is where Mary, in greeting Elizabeth, and Elizabeth's greeting to Mary substantiates in Mary the very fulfillment of what God promised her. So we hear the words of Elizabeth spoken to her: "Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the fruit of your womb," which announces to Mary that God has indeed conceived and fulfilled in her the promise of the embodiment of the Savior to come. Wonderful. And again, substantiated. And that's going to be a word I'll talk about as we go along here.
So, yes, tell us more about, so Mary has now had a visit from Angel Gabriel, a visit from Elizabeth. Tell us about her responses to these visits and what that means for us.
Well, Mary believed what was spoken to her by the angel Gabriel. It is substantiated, if you will, embodied literally now in her womb, to know that what God had spoken to her is fulfilled. And she responds in faith. "Behold, I am the servant of the Lord. Let it be to me according to your word." And that's spoken at the visitation with Gabriel. But what she does, and this is not to make more of her than who she is, but she does make a sacrifice in her reputation among her own people, being found with child before the proper time within a betrothal. And this will gain scorn for her, most likely, to find this has happened to her before the appointed time, thinking that Joseph, you know, would be the father, but someone else had stepped in between them. At the same time, by accepting this role from the Lord and the Lord's will, whatever ambition she had, whatever plan she may have had for her life, was all now sacrificed fully with a sure and certain word of God's will for her life. And she receives it with great faith. And I would say even with great joy, even though there's going to be some hard times ahead bearing this child. So yes, I think she responds wonderfully with a strong faith and belief in not only the word spoken to her, but also meeting Elizabeth and seeing that this has taken place and Elizabeth is a part of it too.
This definitely is a unique calling and a challenging one, a difficult calling. How does the Lord provide for her? How does the Lord carry her through this calling to live out what God has given her to do?
I'm grateful for the way he does it, because it helps us do the same thing. And what he does is he provides moments. And again, let me go back to that word substantiated, because this is something that came out in my studies. And I was thinking about what was happening when these two ladies met and how they were actually sort of validating between the two of them what the Lord has done and being encouraged by that, which is what we're to do with the Word of God as Christians. She didn't worry. She wasn't saddened. She wasn't disappointed, but she rejoiced. And she rejoiced because what she had heard now in the word spoken to her has come about in her womb. So the word substantiated means this. It means to give substance or true existence to something that we believe in, something that is concrete in form or body. And I was looking at these definitions and I was drawn further and further into it. And finally it said, definite, tangible, visible form, which can mean to incarnate or to embody. But to embody that which is spoken to someone and that they believe and now begin to see in its substance the fullness of what God has promised. So she believed the Lord, and she believed what was incarnated in her womb. And we find that, you know, God becomes like us. He's now found to be in this definite, tangible, and visible form, soon to be on Christmas morning when we behold him. And in this one whom she believes and trusts, we find in Christ also God our Father and the embodiment of our salvation, because this is the one long ago promised who would take away the sin of the world and restore us to the Father. And this is the one who also spoke, "Behold, I have come to do your will, O God, as it is written of me in the scroll of the book." He comes to do the will through the woman who also does the will of the Lord. So all is within God's, you know, God's forbearance. It's wonderful to see this happen.
We are taking a look at the scripture lessons for the fourth Sunday of Advent with Pastor Geyer. We'll continue the conversation in just a moment right here on the Coffee Hour. I'm Andy Bates.
At Concordia University, Wisconsin, we believe you were created for a reason, to use your God-given gifts to help others, to live a life of self-sacrifice in a me-first world, to live a life that's uncommon. Whether you're taking one of 50-plus online programs or learning with us in person on the shores of Lake Michigan, you'll be equipped to make an uncommon impact. Learn more at cuw.edu. Concordia University, Wisconsin. Live uncommon.
Welcome back to the Coffee Hour. I'm Andy Bates. We are taking a look at the fourth Sunday in Advent, looking at the gospel lesson for this Sunday with Pastor Geyer. Now, we've talked about this waiting for the one who is promised, the one who is to come. And so Mary and Elizabeth have this conversation. They have this visit, and we learn more about the one who is to come. There's even some leaping in the womb from the one who is to come, well, who is there already. And then there are more people. Before we go on to after Jesus is born and his presentation of the temple, anything else that you want to share about this visit with Elizabeth and Mary before we continue to talk about the substance or the substantial, the way that God provides for us?
Well, yes, because what precedes ours is what was given to them and gives substance to our own understanding and time and faith in Christ. So Mary, she knew, well, I don't know if she quite knew all that was going to be entailed in doing this. She rejoiced at it, but there was still much for her to know and understand, and she's going to need certain things along the way. And those things would be encouragement, just like we do. We need markers in our life to remind us that God is there at work in our lives and that we indeed are walking in the ways and being faithful to that. We find these markers for her as well. One of them is when he is born, and I don't want to jump ahead, you know, Christmas is coming, but nevertheless, there is a marker that's given to her that was given to the shepherds to come and see the one who was born, Christ the Lord. They were given this sign from the angels. And from the angel, and the angel then gives the sign. And what do? They make haste to see the sign embodied in the manger and then leave Mary with this word of what the angels spoke to them. Again, something for her to encourage her along the way. And we're going to find that out as we continue in our conversation here. But I think that's an important thing to remember, that God does provide signs for us to engage in as a remembrance, but also the actualization of what God promises us as we move forward in this life to the life to come. It's a wonderful season to focus on all of this.
Mm-hmm. God's people had been waiting for the promised one. One of those is a very significant figure in this history at the temple. Tell us about the presentation of Jesus at the temple and how God continues his story of providing substantially.
You bet. That's great. Of course, Simeon. And Simeon was given a promise that before he died, he would behold the promise fulfilled of the Christ child to come. And so he's waiting in the temple. And that day finally comes on Jesus' presentation. And he's brought to the temple for the rite of purification after 40 days. And that's important because the law of Moses requires this. And he's already been circumcised. He has received his name. He's been brought into the covenant, the old covenant, in which he's going to fulfill. And here he is fulfilling that covenant at his presentation. And interestingly, in the scriptures it says, "As it is written in the law of the Lord, every male who first opens the womb shall be called holy to the Lord." And of course, this word was spoken to Mary about he would be called the Holy One So on the basis of this Holy One who comes is really all the firstborn or who are holy to the Lord. So this is, again, a fulfillment of God's promises of the coming Savior. And then we have Simeon. And here Simeon beholds the child and makes a confession to Mary and to Joseph as to who this child is in fulfillment of what was promised to him. So it's what we call the Nunc Dimittis. And how we use that in our church service, we can talk about in a minute. So he takes him up in his arms and he blesses God that the Lord's word to him is fulfilled. And look at this. Would this not also be an embodiment of the promise made to him? It was substantiated in the very child now that he beheld with his eyes and held in his arms. He says, "Lord, now you are letting your servant depart in peace according to your word. For my eyes have seen your salvation, that you have prepared in the presence of all peoples a light for revelation to the Gentiles and for glory to your people, Israel." The embodiment of God himself in human flesh and blood as the fulfillment of the promise. This is real tangible stuff. And as Christians, we have a tendency to miss this side of it when we don't see physically with our eyes, and we try to see too much with our eyes rather than seeing with our ears and hearing the truth and reality that God brings to us. And that will play an important role as we go on with how God brings it to us as well. But here again, an embodiment, if you will, of and a substantiated substantiation of what God promised Simeon, but now to, again, encouraging Mary. But there is one other thing to add to this. Not only did he bless them, but he told Mary something else that she needs to know, that the child that she bears is appointed for the fall and rising of many in Israel. And then more hard to perhaps accept for us, a sign that is opposed. A sign that is opposed, which means this is one who's going to suffer. And a sword will pierce through your own soul also. So that those thoughts that remained with her. I was looking at that text and thinking about it more. A sword will pierce through your own soul also, which means certainly a mother is going to experience the hardship and the horror of watching her son die. And this was something that Mary had to be prepared for as well, because being a mother is a special vocation in this world. And again, not to give overabundance to the role of Mary, but certainly she was a faithful woman to the end and would suffer with us all the sorrow of his death, but also the joy of his resurrection. So she was prepared again and through a substantiated event in her life as she goes along bearing and caring for the child.
Now, you alluded to the words of Simeon and how that plays a role in how we also receive that substantial gift from God. How is this fulfillment of the promise remembered in the divine service with the words of Simeon? And yeah. if you don't sing it in your head, I don't know if you can recite those words without hearing some tune in your head, right?
you can't help but do that. And let me preface it this way too, if you don't mind. Let's build into it for just a second if we have a few minutes. Mm-hmm. You know, Jesus performed many signs for the people in his ministry. He gave sight to the blind, hearing to the deaf. You know, the lame were able to walk and run again. The lepers were cured. And even the dead were raised up. So what was happening is that these were substantiations of what he spoke and what he was promising to do, to save and forgive, and then to resurrect and make new again eternally. So these foreshadow that in his ministry. And then he substantiated or embodied in the word and the outward signs that we have today of water, bread, and wine, the imparting of the spiritual truths and realities that they signify to us, such as the washing away of our leprous sin, if you will, and the raising up of the spiritually deceased, that we can now, through holy baptism, begin to walk in newness of life. It's a wonderful connection that he does. And by these words and signs, we are then made the embodiment of his life, who indwells in us now to serve the purposes of God and his kingdom. And what all of this means is that truly we are a new creation, and he's making a new creation out of us. So it's wonderful to see that Christ has come for that very purpose. He didn't come to do all this for him. He came for us. So he has left us now really with the greater signs and the words that substantiate our life and salvation, that whenever we hear the word of God and we meditate on it and we inwardly digest this in word and sacrament, God is then directly speaking to us and then substantiating and fulfilling in us his promises. So this is very much about our souls and bodies, and a very tangible reality of how God works with us today. So he draws us into the heavenly reality of what his word conveys to us. So then, that if we understand this to be true, then the stories of the Bible are our stories. And salvation history is our life history as well. So the child in Mary's womb is for us to see and behold in the pages and the stories of Holy Writ, to know that this now comes to us. And this is why I also like the Psalms so much, because we live in a very sinful world, and it's difficult for us to travel through this chaotic life. But we are reminded by the psalmists continually to remember that in our deepest needs, God is right there. That's where he's at. This is where he's carrying us through, as he did the Israelites before us. And so even in the Psalms, we have a wonderful word that brings about the reality of Christ's life with us, and also our lives in the story of Scripture being played out in our day and time.
This just came to mind as we were talking about this. We were talking about the words given in Simeon that are so significant, and we sing those. And you're also referencing the Psalms that we have, and we sing those. Isn't it interesting that God has given us the gift of music and singing to be able to carry his word with us, that we sing it together when we gather in the divine service? We sing the Nunc Dimittis or Simeon's song. We sing the Psalms together, and how that song helps us carry them with us as well, as while we're singing them together, but then we carry them with us when we depart as well.
Absolutely. And I wanted to bring to fulfillment now with that sin. You know, the Nunc Dimittis as the post-communion canticle, that as to why the sacrament of the altar and the Eucharist is so important to our weekly rhythm of worship and life, but especially on Christmas morn. The Nunc Dimittis means that we have laid eyes, if you will, through our ears, on the same Christ child. The same Christ child, the same Christ crucified, the same Christ resurrected, the same Christ who promises to be with us to the very end, is the same Christ in that supper that we receive in the Eucharist. So when we culminate Advent with Christmas meaning Christ's Mass, and Mass meaning the Eucharist, which simply means that God is truly with us, Emmanuel, here in this gift. And this is the reality that I think many miss on Christmas morning, as we have a tendency to kind of maybe not always be in church on Christmas morning for that. We kind of substitute Christmas Eve for that. But on Christmas morning, when we unwrap that swaddling cloth and we behold that child and we see the wonder of what God has done, announced by the angels who were marveling at the fact that God would be found in human flesh and blood, that gift is the sacrifice for our sins and our eternal life in that child. And that child grew on the night when he was betrayed to take his very flesh and his very blood and to make it now into the new covenant for us, that those who participate in this and receive it, he will raise on the last day. I think that's so incredibly important to all of us, and how all these words bring this about for us, because the embodiment of Christ means that God not only rose again, but he ascended into heaven with that body. And that means he took our humanity with him. This is the certainty of our salvation, and that the goal of it is our return to our Father in heaven. I want to go back to the word that he spoke. He says, "Behold, I have come to do your will." And then right after that, in the Hebrew text that we read, it is written, "And by that will, we have been sanctified to the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once for all." Notice the body of Jesus Christ. And then we have Elizabeth's words that just tail onto this beautifully. "And blessed is she who believed that there would be a fulfillment of what was spoken to her from the Lord." Now translate that to our day. Blessed is he who believes that there is a fulfillment of what is spoken to him from the Lord. And that is, "Take, eat, and take, drink. My body and blood given and shed for you for the forgiveness of sins." Truly, Emmanuel with us. That is a wonderful, not only a conclusion to the Advent season, but also the heart of the Christmas season and everything that follows thereafter.
Our guest today, Pastor James Geyer, Senior Pastor, Ascension Lutheran Church and School in Fort Wayne, Indiana. Pastor Geyer, thank you so much for joining us for this series, walking us through Advent. It's been a joy to get to dig into the text with you today and throughout the series, and just to receive God's good gifts in his word. Thanks for being our guest.
Thank you, Andy. My pleasure.
You've been listening to The Coffee Hour. I'm Andy Bates.
The Coffee Hour with Andy and Sarah is a production of KFUO. To support The Coffee Hour and KFUO Radio, visit KFUO.org. You can also text KFUO to 41444 or send an email to gifts@KFUO.org. And you can call us at 800-844-0524. KFUO. Christ for you, anytime, anywhere.